Chapter 3, Non-Verbal Communication. We first discuss what is non-verbal communication. It is communication without words. It expresses interpersonal attitudes. It focuses on posture, gestures, body language, facial expressions, eye contact. When we speak of postures, the following are various postures which display or express how a person is feeling or thinking without saying anything. We will discuss these postures in depth as we move ahead. When we talk of communication, one important aspect is verbal, which is spoken communication. And another important aspect is non-verbal communication. The next will be written communication, for example, emails, memo, fax, and oral communication, which can be face-to-face, telephonic, audio-video conferencing, teleconferencing. Non-verbal communication is the process of communication through sending and receiving wordless, mostly visual cues between people. For example, if a person is frowning, for me it may mean the person is worried. For somebody else, it may mean the person is in deep thought. And for a third person, it may mean that he or she is having a headache. So in this case, the cues or hints which we get by seeing an individual express himself without the usage of words. So, one expression can be assumed differently for different people. It does not utilize any words. Only signs, gestures, body movements are used by the person to convey messages which otherwise would have been expressed in words. Non-verbal communication is always accompanied with verbal communication. In fact, it is said that non-verbal communication conveys much more than words. Non-verbal communication is sometimes referred to as body language, but non-verbal communication encompasses much more, such as use of voice, touch, distance, and physical environment or appearance. Let us take each of these aspects. When we talk of body language, the way a person expresses probably in form of posture, in form of eye contact. Let's say you are traveling. You're in a country whereby nobody understands the language you speak and vice versa. That means you do not understand what they speak. You are at a restaurant. You point out at the item in the menu. In spite of that, you realize that what you had placed an order for has not come. It's something different. You also realize that the person whom you're communicating with is not having eye contact with you. So different cultures have different ways of expressing body language. Different cultures have different ways of probably having eye contact or not having eye contact at all. When you talk of non-verbal communication, there is a difference in perception, attitude, thought process, ideas, feelings, and intentions. That means all what you convey with or without words is expressed through non-verbal communication. When we speak of voice, or when we take the term voice, non-verbal communication encompasses the use of voice. This is known as paralanguage. When we say encompasses the use of voice, for example, you are jogging and suddenly you say, phew. That means you're gasping for breath, G-A-S-P-I-N-G. This ideally is a form of non-verbal communication. Then we talk of touch. Ideally, say in the US, handshake is a form of touch. The different cultures have different expressions in terms of touch. So, for example, when it is a formal meeting, handshake expresses touch. A firm handshake is ideally extremely important when we are discussing formal communication. When we talk of distance, the space, as far as effective communication is concerned, and also as far as non-verbal communication is concerned, is extremely important. For example, when we talk of space, intimate to physical contact will be ideally 18 inches. That means we talk of the distance. When the distance is 18 inches to 4 feet, it is personal. For example, when it is 18 inches to 4 feet, when we say it's personal, that means we probably could be discussing with our close friends. When it is ideally discussed as intimate to physical contact, we are talking of whispering something in someone's ear, or say you've met a friend after years and you embrace her or him. So this distance or space actually conveys a lot. When it is social, then ideally the space is 4 feet to 12 feet. That could be with an acquaintance. And when it goes 12 feet and beyond that range, it means that we are speaking to a large audience, a heterogeneous population. For example, where you're giving a speech and you have a large number of people. Physical environment, the immediate surrounding, the disturbance in the surrounding would probably make you have a frown on the face. A work environment which is very stressful would probably make you have a look of boredom or an aggressive look. When we talk of appearance, how neat and tidy a person looks, it sets an impression. The kind of attire which suits you, the kind of makeup, jewelry, or the kind of bag which a person has with him or her is extremely important because it reflects on you as an individual. It says much more than ideally what you speak through words. So it is extremely important when we talk of appearance too, to be well groomed, to be looking updated in a manner whereby you are presentable. Typically overlooked in non-verbal communication is the informal space around the body. And in such non-verbal interaction is the use of time as well as the eye contact, which comprises the actions of looking while talking and listening. Frequency of glances, patterns of fixation, pupil dilation, and blink rate. Appropriate eye contact reflects on the sender as well as the receiver. When we talk of eye contact, it indicates attention, it indicates interest and involvement. Inappropriate eye contact reflects in a manner whereby the person may look or seem disinterested, bored, or not really involved or enthusiastic as far as the discussion goes. When we talk of eye contact, it is a very important aspect of non-verbal communication. Why are we talking of eye contact as far as nonverbal communication is concerned? Though in the Asian and African cultures, at times it is said to be inappropriate if the young people are talking to elders and having eye contact. So eye contact also differs from culture to culture. Eye contact is something which is picked up by a child, depending on the surrounding, depending on the environment. So it is a lot to do with our immediate environment. When we talk of eye contact, the face communicates emotions. So along with the face, the eyes will also express the emotions, feelings, and probably the thoughts which could be displayed on the person's face. The most important thing in communication is to hear what isn't being said, by Peter Drucker. It is a fact that words play a very minimum role, and it is non-verbal communication or gestures, body language, eye contact, which says much more. So we as individuals need to understand that whatever we think or feel, even if we do not say it through words, it'll be expressed through facial expressions, posture, body language, eye contact. And we must realize that our verbal communication and non-verbal communication should be aligned. If verbal communication and non-verbal communication is not aligned, it will create ambiguity. Even speech contains non-verbal elements such as paralanguage, including voice quality, rate, pitch, volume, and speaking style, as well as underlying features such as rhythm, intonation, and stress. Likewise, written texts have non-verbal elements such as handwriting style, spatial arrangement of words, or the physical layout of a page. Now, let us discuss voice quality. Voice has characteristics like voice quality. This includes volume and pitch. When we talk of volume, it means the loudness or softness. If a person is speaking too loud, it means that the person probably could be stressed or worried. It also means that the person is speaking to a larger audience and wishes to be audible. Or in simple words, it can probably mean that the person is influenced by his surroundings, and a lot depends on the culture too. So when we talk of loudness, it means that we probably are in an environment whereby if we are constantly speaking aloud, it is probably due to external noise or disturbance. It is probably due to the immediate environment which has lot of noise. When you talk of loudness, ideally it suggests lack of self-command at times. When we talk of pitch, pitch again means a loud pitch suggests that the person is probably immature or is emotionally disturbed. Now, why ideally is this happening? This may be at a subconscious level. There are times when one is upset or disturbed, the pitch can go higher. So it is extremely important that we realize that the volume and pitch should be at a balance level, because the moment it goes out of control, it means that somewhere some factors are affecting us. Speech has qualities like rhythm and intonations. Every language has its own accent or way of forming sounds. When we say this, that means it has its own rhythm. For example, the accent here in India is different as compared to the accent in the US. So we carry a mother tongue accent in the language we learn. So when we speak, we need to realize that more than the accent, there should be clarity of speech. If there is clarity of speech, it means that all is conveyed appropriately. Now, when we talk of handwriting style or the layout of the page or the space between the words, this gives an idea to the person who is reading the letter, because the way you have written the letter, the spacing, the paragraphs, all this conveys a lot about you as an individual. It is then the content or information which will be perceived and read, which will convey a message. But ideally, before that, the handwriting style, spatial arrangement of words, or the physical layout of a page is important. However, much of the study of non-verbal communication has focused on interaction between individuals, where it can be classified into three principal areas: environmental conditions, where communication takes place, physical characteristics of the communicator, and the behaviors of the communicator during interaction. And behaviors of communicators during interaction. Now, we will discuss these three aspects. One is the environmental condition, the next is the physical characteristics, and the third is the behavior. When I say environmental conditions, it means the surrounding or the atmosphere in which the individual is. A lot of our behavior at a subconscious level is due to the surrounding or the environment. It means that the immediate surrounding or environment will always have an impact in terms of our behavior, reactions, responses, facial expressions, and nonverbal communication. That means body language to a great extent is also portrayed because of our immediate surrounding. When we talk of physical characteristics, what do we mean by physical characteristics? We will discuss this in the next few slides. Non-verbal communication involves the processes of encoding and decoding. Encoding is the act of generating the information, such as facial expressions, gestures, posture. When I talk of gestures, it is movement of hand, it is movement of head. When I talk of posture, it means ideally a posture which probably can reveal confidence, or if you're seated in a slouching manner, it shows maybe to an extent your boredom, you're non-enthusiastic. Decoding is the interpretation of information from wordless signals sent by the person wishing to communicate. When I say wordless signals, it means the cues, C-U-E-S, the hints which we get through because of non-verbal communication. Here, the person receiving messages has to use earlier sensations to interpret signs, gestures, sounds, and understand the message. That means all what is put through non-verbal communication in terms of signs, gestures, sounds conveys the message. Let us take an example. If an ambulance is passing by and if the siren goes on, it means that though I'm not in that ambulance, somewhere I probably will make space if I'm driving to let the ambulance go by. So that has conveyed a message to me. Only a small percentage of the brain processes verbal communication. Not so with non-verbal communication. Normally, eyes, ears, nose, and each organ is put to work by the brain to digest the messages passed on non-verbally. Maybe as humans, we are designed to pick up non-verbal cues or non-verbal communication much more than words. For example, if you have a deadline tomorrow to submit a project, even though you don't wish to express or say anything, your facial expressions will reveal to the others around that you are stressed, that you are somewhere worried. Because subconsciously, what is present will automatically show on the face. So non-verbal communication is highly effective. We only need to understand one aspect, that different cultures have different ways to express and interpret non-verbal communication. For example, in the Middle East, nodding your head down means disagreement. For example, at another place, a thumbs up sign is considered humiliating. So, very often, it is interpreted in a different manner by different people belonging to different cultures. As infants, non-verbal communication is learned from socio-emotional communication, making the face rather than words the major organ of communication. How do children pick up? A lot through observation, a lot through probably what they see and observe. Because, as we discussed in the previous slides, that the brain has the ability to digest or absorb non-verbal communication much more than verbal communication. As children become verbal communicators, they begin to look at facial expressions, vocal tones, and other non-verbal elements more subconsciously. That means somewhere they are ideally focusing on non-verbal communication, but at a subconscious level. If such full attention is not directed towards non-verbal communication, there is vast scope for the message to be misinterpreted or lost totally or in parts. It is because non-verbal communication sends out signals. If this is overlooked, there can be misunderstandings, there can be arguments, and ideally there can be problems because the correct message has not gone across. So whether it's adults or children, we need to realize that non-verbal communication gives out a message to others. So we need to be extremely effective in terms of what we convey. Non-verbal communication, what makes an impression? How you speak, 38%. Your words, only 7%. Your body language, 55%. Let's say while I'm speaking now, if I stand like this, it will not be appropriate for me to speak in this manner with this kind of a posture. You probably, as an individual, when you will see the lectures, you will feel, why is the person slouching? So whether it's a presentation, whether it's a meeting, whether it's our day-to-day life, work in our day-to-day life, we need to understand our body language conveys a lot. It reflects your personality, which is why how you conduct yourself is extremely important. One very important aspect is only 7% of what you say is conveyed through words. So you may give a speech for a full 1 hour, but if you're not effective in terms of facial expressions, eye contact, then it means somewhere you may lose up. When I say how you speak, it means the tone and choice of words. Using the appropriate words and appropriate tone. Say you have to convince somebody. So you need to have the persuasive appeal. When I say persuasive appeal, the ability to convince by using words, but also expressing yourself in a manner which says much more than words. Non-verbal communication represents 2/3 of all communication. Studies have concluded that your body language is responsible for 55% of the impression you make on the other person. How you speak makes 38%, and balance 7% is only through verbal communication or words. If we actually evaluate this, we do realize as individuals how much weightage is given to non-verbal communication. And it is a fact that if you're speaking to someone, you do expect that kind of eye contact. It is a known fact that when you're giving a speech, your confidence will be in terms of your posture. It is a known fact that there should be slight movements of hands while you're speaking. So certain aspects are known. It's a different thing that some people choose to follow, some people choose not to follow, and some people take a long time to develop that kind of skill whereby you're extremely confident with your own self, which means you will be extremely confident with your own body language. Any communication can portray a message both verbally and with the correct body signals. Body signals comprise physical features, conscious and unconscious gestures and signals, and the mediation of personal space. When I say conscious and unconscious gestures and signals, say you're walking out in the sun. You get worried about something. Say you're walking on the road and it's a rainy day. You yet have a frown on your face. You may not even realize. Why? Because you're too stressed about an upcoming project. So again, this may be at an unconscious level. You are so worried and so thinking of the project that your facial expressions ideally what they say to the others or what others perceive of you in terms of facial expressions may not even come to your own mind. The wrong message can be established if the body language conveyed does not match a verbal message. So verbal and non-verbal communication has to be in synchronization. There cannot be a mismatch between the two. Non-verbal communication strengthens a first impression in common situations like attracting a partner or in a business interview. Impressions are on average formed within the first 4 seconds of contact. Say you ideally have gone for an interview. The moment you enter the cabin till the time you're seated, you have already conveyed a lot. Because the first few seconds say a lot about you in terms of your eye contact again, your posture, your way of walking, how you conduct yourself in that attire, how do you carry yourself in terms of being comfortable with what you have carried with you, and of course the thoughts which are probably running in your mind will probably show on your face. So it is extremely important again that you create a first impression which shows your confidence rather than anything else. First encounters or interactions with another person strongly affects a person's perception. What do we mean by perception? The way we think or understand something or someone. For example, our perceptions may vary drastically on the same topic because each individual has his or her own views. Each individual ideally has his or her own thought process, which may vary drastically from the other. When the other person or group is absorbing the message, they're focused on the entire environment around them, meaning the other person uses all the 5 senses in the interaction. For effective interaction, it is assumed that 83% is for sight. What do we mean by that? That means when there's effective communication and interaction, a lot depends on probably what is it in terms of visual. A lot depends on what we convey through our eye movements. A lot depends on what we convey through eye behavior and eye gaze. This is actually a form of non-verbal communication. The term is oculexics, which we will discuss as we move ahead. So 83% in terms of sight, 11% hearing, 3% smell, 2% touch, and 1% taste. That means, again, eye contact plays a very exceptional role.